Everything old is new again. Welcome to Hidden Agenda on Grand Forks' Best Source. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, Paul the producer, and myself on the show today. And our show, Hidden Agenda, brought to you by Executive Properties. Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Aaron says Chris and his team did a spectacular job on the damage to my aunt's garage and siding. Kept us up to date on the progress, and the finished product was amazing. Thank you for your professionalism and hard work. Hey, get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273. All right, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call us, 701-213-0863, 701-213-0863. Let's get it out of the way, our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. I accidentally swallowed some Scrabble tiles. Well, now I'm experiencing constant vowel movement. Tell you what, the next trip to the bathroom could spell disaster.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty good. A double whammy. That's there. A double whammy. You know, do you hear that little... There we go.
That's right.
Could spell disaster. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. I did it again. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Now John, I'm going to put it back on you.
Very well. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired today for some reason. I don't know why. Seems like when I sleep good, I'm more tired. Does that make sense?
Actually, it does, because if your circadian rhythm is off, I mean, we go through sleep cycles, and if you get a full night's sleep and then you fall asleep again, you go into another sleep cycle, and then you wake up in the middle of that.
Sure.
That can do that.
Get my little monologue type thingy out of the way. Sleepy Joe's disapproval rating as of 5:13. That was a couple of days ago, yesterday. His disapproval rating at 55.6%. His approval rating now at 38.1%. I see Joe is increasing tariffs, so this is one of the good things I think he's done in a while. Tariffs on $18 billion in Chinese imports. $18 billion he's going to increase tariffs. That's a little bit. Trump leading Biden now in five key states, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. We were talking about the jab, AstraZeneca, withdrawing its COVID vaccine after admitting it could be more dangerous than we think. Actually, a former teacher ended up with severe neurological issues after the jab of that particular jab. Arm tingles, blurred vision, headache, ringing ears, vomiting, developed paresthesia. It's a neurological condition where nerves are irritated. So there we go. I'm going to make that short and sweet. You can now go to Rumble. As we are now leaving Facebook and YouTube. And there we go. That's about all I got for you today.
Yeah, go to Rumble, because on Rumble we can still talk about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can say what's true and accurate. Seriously? So I'm getting, excuse me, folks, I'm getting a phone call. Oh, are you kidding me? Who? Wow. So, you know what? Let's do a little bit. We're going to do kind of a review,
okay,
of the COVID days. We all remember that.
Yeah.
So let me just. I had a last minute change of plan here. I'm just going to admit that publicly, so people can be saying, "Oh, see, these guys are not professional." But yeah, okay. Here we go. This is thanks to the new information. We've got really bad things coming, and some really good people who are fighting against the bad things that are coming. So back in last year in 2023, April 24th through the 27th, they had the annual, this is a quote from the Washington Post, from the annual 2023 annual Epidemic Intelligence Service Conference. That's the annual Epidemic Intelligence Service Conference.
Okay.
Here's the quote. The CDC's Epidemic Intelligence Service officers and alumni, the disease... Who wrote... Oh, that's my printing. Sorry.
Who wrote this in my notebook?
The disease detectives, here it is. I figured it out. The disease detectives deployed to identify and fight outbreaks met April 24th through the 27th at the Atlanta Hotel. The conference drew 1,800 in-person attendees, the first in-person epidemic intelligence service gathering in 4 years, right, because of the pandemic.
Yep.
Like many conferences, it was crowded with much face-to-face contact, many events held in small rooms, and lots of socializing. Okay, that's right out of the Washington Post.
Just what they're not supposed to be doing back then.
Yeah, that's right. So it gets really interesting. On April 27th, several attendees reported testing positive for guess what? COVID-19.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, these are the guys, these folks, these 1,800 people are, this is the annual Epidemic Intelligence Service Conference. So these are the really smart people who are trying to figure out how epidemics work, how they spread, mm-hmm. how they, mm-hmm. you know, what works to prevent it, what doesn't, how the vaccines are going to play a role. Okay, these are the guys that study all that stuff.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, if they had been watching this show since 2020,
they probably wouldn't be with the World Health Organization anymore.
They wouldn't be with the annual epidemic intelligence or the whole thing would have changed because if they would have said, hey, wait a minute, we've been fed a pack of lies from the CDC and the WHO and the NIH and Tony Fauci and Sandra Burks, they've been lying to us. But I don't think they've been watching this show. Here's what happened. Several attendees tested positive for COVID-19. A survey conducted by the CDC and the Georgia Department of Health at that conference, when they tested positive, they took this survey at the end of the conference. 80% of the people answered, and of the people that answered, 181 tested positive for COVID. That's a 12% positive rate, 12% in 4 days. Here's the thing. I just watched an interview. We were talking before the show about Chris Cuomo and how he was one of the huge pro-vaxxers, pro-vax. Yeah. While he's on CNN, he's just pushing the vax like there's no tomorrow, right? That's the only solution. Mm-hmm. And anyone that takes ivermectin, the horse paste, you're an idiot. You should be shamed. He literally said, you should be shamed. They should be shamed. We should shame them. Except guess what? Chris Cuomo was vaccine injured from the COVID-19 vaccine. Guess what he's now taking in order to try to recover from his vaccine injury? Yeah. Want to take a guess? Any guesses,
gentlemen?
Give
you one guess, yeah.
Yeah, ivermectin, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Obviously, Chris Cuomo doesn't watch. He's never watched the show.
I think I remember, too, back a couple of years ago when Dr. Dan Stanislawski was on our show, and he was talking about these vaccines can also cause blood clots.
Yeah, and right.
Didn't a vaccine company just pull all of their vaccines because they found out that they're now causing blood clots?
Golly gee, Beav. You know?
And by the way, I think Chris Cuomo, I think he's a closet watcher of GFBS. He just doesn't tell anybody.
He probably is now. You know, now that the chickens gee are coming home to roost.
You know what would be great? Because when we first started, we didn't have our shows labeled quite as well, but mm-hmm. it'd be really nice to be able to pull one of those episodes from when we were going on and everybody's like, oh, you
when we were all guys, nut jobs.
Yeah,
we
should do that. And just play that today and just be like,
remember this?
Yeah.
We should do that.
Promote the hell out of it for about 2 weeks and then play that show.
I bet Dean could find some of those shows for us.
He probably could.
Yeah. He's good.
But that is a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is. Maybe we should do that on Memorial Day. Yeah. There we go. Take the day off and play that.
Remember Memorial Day?
Yeah.
I did a well, but the thing is, the title of today's show is "Everything is Old is New Again," and that is true, and it's going to happen again. I just watched half of a podcast of the High Wire with High Wire is the great source of information. Del Bigtree was a film producer. In fact, he used to produce the show The Doctors on I don't remember which network it was. And when he learned about how dangerous vaccines are, just vaccines, this is before COVID, when he learned how many children, how many people around the country are injured from the standard childhood vaccine schedule, from taking those shots, he literally turned his career around and he created the high wire where he's exposing all that stuff. And he's been doing it for a lot of years. I didn't really watch. I watched a few of his shows after we started Midwest Public Health Coalition and we had Dan working with us. Some people sent me, hey, you should see this. They're saying the same thing you are. Okay. I think that they've been on the vaccine thing a lot longer than we have. They've been at it for a really long time. I just want people to know we didn't get our information from them. We literally did our own research. In other words, reading what professionals in the industry are publishing, even if it's not reported on the news. Here's the question, gentlemen. If something happens in the world and it's not reported by the mainstream media, remember the old expression, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, did it make a sound?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the question. If something happens in the world and it's not reported on the mainstream media, did it really happen? Okay.
Well, it could have.
So same thing. Del Bigtree and his organization, Highwire, has been reporting on this stuff for a long time. But we didn't have to go to the high wire to get our information. They have really good information. But we actually went to the original sources. You know, Dan did a lot of that. I did a lot of that before Dan came on. Then Dan came on. He started doing even more because he's got a PhD in molecular biology and biochemistry. If you can't do research with a PhD in molecular biology and biochemistry, you shouldn't have that degree.
No.
Right?
Okay. Right.
So, but you don't have to have a PhD to research on your own, do it all the time. You come on with things that. So now after Chris Cuomo figures out what's going on, he's interviewing Sandra Birx, and he asks her about this whole thing. Was the vaccine really as effective? Was it really this? Was it really that? And she says, "Well, you know, yes, we know that when you give millions and millions of doses of a vaccine, of course there are going to be some, and I believe there have been, you know, maybe." You know, there probably have been hundreds or maybe even thousands of adverse events from the vaccine. But when you think about all the lives that we saved, and all the, oh, come on. Really?
It's funny to me because they're still pushing the jabs. There's all these people coming out saying, no, don't. And now they're even the companies themselves are saying, well, we're having some issues. People, you, for a great example, have had COVID how many times?
Three.
And how many jabs have you went and got since you've had COVID?
None.
Exactly. None. I think I've had it a couple of times. I still refuse. But why do they still keep pushing this thing? You know?
Yeah. Well, so that's a deep question, John. Yeah. I mean, there's
many reasons. I mean, but it's all money.
Yeah,
it's all money.
The surface answer, it's money. The deeper, harder answer is, I don't think it's money. I think it's part of a larger global program to wipe out a major part of the Earth's population.
Oh, sure.
And then control the people that are left. The people that want to do that, they don't want our money.
No.
They already have it.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
These are the people that run the World Bank.
Sure.
These are the people to whom the money is like tiddlywinks to you, right? Mm. What do you call it? The checker pieces. It doesn't mean anything to them. They push it around to accomplish their goals. That's all it is. I want to get back to Sandra Birx, though. She said there may be thousands of cases of vaccine injuries. We've been reporting on the VAERS numbers for several years here on this show.
Yeah, until they quit giving them.
and VAERS, according to one study, and I don't remember who did this study, they said that VAERS probably only gets 10% of the actual vaccine injuries. A Harvard study by Harvard University, Harvard Medical School, Harvard University, said it's likely that the reporting to VAERS represents less than 1% of all vaccine injuries. Less than 1%. Do you know how many VAERS reports there have been of vaccine injuries from the COVID vaccine at this point in time, as of today? More than 1.6 million.
Wow.
1.6 million, according to VAERS, Ms. Birx, if you're watching the show, which I know you're not. 1.6 million. So if the more conservative number, 10%, is accurate, if they say only 10% of the injuries are actually reported to VAERS, do the math. They're saying one point. She said maybe thousands of people have been injured. Theirs is already documented 1.6 million. If that only represents 10%, then you've got to multiply 1.6 by 10, which is 16 million. That means 16 million deaths worldwide. Because I think,
and you know, they still don't have them all,
right? They said, right. But if we go, what if we go with a Harvard study that said it's really less than one? Let's make it 1%. Let's say that Varis has 1% of the actual injuries caused by the vaccine that are reported to them. Then we've got to multiply that number, 1.6, by 100.
Yeah.
Which means there have been now worldwide from the COVID vaccine 160 million adverse events or vaccine injuries. 160 million worldwide.
That's a good start at getting rid of the population.
It's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people like Sandra Burks saying, oh, maybe there were thousands. You know, here's what she said, and this really galled me. I didn't know if I should laugh or throw up. She said, you know, we should really start investigating this now. This is a time that we should be investigating these things and finding out how it really worked.
Again, who was saying that 4 years ago?
Yeah, but why is she even there? I mean, why? She, are you kidding me? It's like we just invented medicine 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. Well, hey, look, now that all this stuff has happened, maybe we should keep records. Maybe we should pay attention to what happened to one person or another person. Hey, maybe that'd be helpful to try to figure out what to do in the future. Folks, this is like medicine 101. We were doing this 200 years ago or longer ago. When you release something that's not been tested, which also has never been done,
mm-hmm.
we've never on the global population said, take this injection.
Yeah.
We've never tested it. No safety testing. Yeah. Don't know what it's going to do, but we think maybe it'll stop something. That's never happened before. It happened for the first time in 2021. And they were saying, don't worry. We were the experiment. Only now Burks is actually saying, 3 years later, yeah, maybe we should be collecting data and finding out what really happened.
Was it AstraZeneca? Is that the one that got pulled for?
I think they just pulled
blood clots.
They just pulled it themselves. Just said it's more dangerous.
I think it was AstraZeneca. But anyway, my point is that I'm old enough to remember when a movie called Died Suddenly came out, and it was the first time in history that the embalmers. And at the funeral homes, we're pulling out these massive blood clots out of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, that movie was misinformation.
Yeah, and when did that movie come out?
I think that was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, misinformation. Years, yeah. Interestingly, what Chris Cuomo is now saying publicly on, does he have a show or I don't, wherever he is, what he's now saying publicly is what just two and a half years earlier, he was calling misinformation. Yep. The stuff he's now saying, I'm taking ivermectin, he called that misinformation. The fact that the shots injure people, he called that misinformation.
Yeah.
You know, we were the nut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about truth. It can only be hidden for so long.
Right.
The truth always comes out eventually. The truth always comes out sooner or later. So we want to be on the sooner side of knowing the truth than the later side. And that's really what this show is all about.
And this is not like vaccine related, but this is a truth that I don't think a lot of people are realizing right now. And this goes into that piece of crap that we got in the White House, who is now not supplying Israel with aid to help take out a terrorist organization. But so people are saying he should be impeached because he is using his influence from withholding aid and stuff to try to get elected by Michigan. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, what people aren't talking about is the reason that he's doing all of this is because his donors are the ones that are supporting all of these protesters. That's what I'm thinking. So, if he has Soros and all these people that are, you know, giving him money to run his campaign and try to get him reelected, right, he's going to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to support the protesters and the ones, you know, the guys that are giving them all tents and everything. And if they say that you need to be in line with the protesters against Israel, that's what you're going to do, Biden. And he's just like, okay. Yeah.
So Paul, you're exactly right. And this is where hypocrisy comes home to roost, because liberals are really, most of them are hypocrites. I know I used to be one. And when I realized at some point, this doesn't even make any sense. How can I say this is true Monday, but on Tuesday it's this, but Wednesday it's this is true? You have to be consistent. And, you know, probably, I'm guessing maybe all of us have some level of hypocrisy at some level,
sure,
in our lives about something. It's something that I think is disdainful, so we should always try to root it out. I've spent years doing that. If I find that I have a position on anything that is hypocritical, I say, wait a second, that's not right. And so what is my position on this? What's the core principle at stake here? What do I need to really understand is this is the foundation of this. Okay, so then from there, you can, if it builds on that foundation, then it's correct. If it doesn't build on that foundation, then it's wrong. Sure. And you have to discard it, regardless of whether it feels good or not. You have to discard it if it can't be built on the foundation of principle truth.
Yeah.
Right? So when it comes to the thing about, you know, I'm glad that Chris Cuomo has finally seen the light, that he's actually admitted it, but it took him to get injured.
Yeah, right.
What a tragedy that he couldn't do his research like we've done here, like MPHC has been urging people to do from the beginning. Like you've said, John, how many times have you come on the show and say, hey, folks, just go online. In 5 minutes, you can find out what's happening.
Sure.
If you just want to look for yourself.
Yeah.
But so we have a choice. We can be lazy or we can be diligent. Then we live in times that are treacherous because there are people who really do want to kill us.
I mean, you look at ahead or look at who's in charge. I mean, well, besides Sleepy Joe, but then when you talk about Fauci, I mean, look at those two together.
No.
Making decisions for the United States and then the rest of the world following.
So that's what I want to get to now, but I do want to just affirm what you said, Paul, and going back to the thing about most liberals are hypocrites. Here's the problem. For some reason, and I truly don't understand it. I've got Jewish friends. I love the Jewish people. Not everyone who's Jewish is a good person. Okay, you can't find any one race of people where they're all wonderful. But here's the thing that I do not understand about the Jewish population in America as a whole. The majority of them are Democrats. Okay, the majority are Democrats. I don't get that. I do not understand it. There were Jews in Germany who voted for and supported Adolf Hitler before he began rounding them up and sending them to gas chambers. Okay? How they could be fooled by him, how they could be fooled now, I do not understand it. And what's even harder to understand is a lot of Jewish people, Jewish families, are very conservative in their practice, but they're liberal in their politics, which again doesn't make sense to me. I think that's hypocritical, right? So a famous Jewish man who started a wonderful informational program on the internet called PragerU, Dennis Prager, said, and he's a very, very conservative Jewish man. He said, I say to my Jewish friends, I say, why don't you preach what you practice? Because he said they all live like conservatives. They're very fiscally conservative with their money. They don't believe in overspending. They don't believe in buying on credit. They don't believe in abortion. They would never have an abortion. They believe that that's completely wrong. And then they turn around and vote for people who support all those things that they personally oppose. So he said it's this weird disconnect in a lot of the Jewish community in the country. Here's the problem. The Democrats have courted the Jewish vote for decades,
yeah,
right? They've endorsed it, the Jewish vote, the black vote, the minority vote. Now, all of a sudden, the hypocrisy is coming home to roost because we got Joe Biden, as you said, in the White House hearing from his donors, hey, you got to go in with the protesters. But they're protesting against one of my base constituencies. If you want the money, you got to agree with the protesters and cut off support to Israel. Like you said, okay. So now guess what's happening? We heard after 4 years of the Trump administration, a bunch of black citizens, especially younger black citizens, were saying, yeah, I didn't vote for Trump in 2016, but I'm definitely voting for him in 2020. That's now they're saying that even more loudly. But guess who else is now saying they're not going to vote Democrat in the upcoming election?
Democrats.
A bunch of Jewish Democrats.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they're seeing that Biden is turned on Israel in a big way, and that he's actually endorsing and supporting those genocidal maniacs who are calling for the complete annihilation of the Jewish people. And they're saying, wait a minute, this is a bridge too far. This is something we can't go for this anymore. We're not voting Democrat.
And you know, this is what shocks me, is it takes something like Israel for these Jewish Democrats to realize that maybe they... Look at our economy. Look at everything over the last 4 years. Look at everything. The price of groceries, gas, rent, mortgages. Everything has gone up. We're relying on other countries again for a lot of our goods. I mean, now we got to put a tariff on China. 5 years ago, we didn't have to rely on China for squat. You know? And now we're getting drug into these wars. And now we're worried about China, Korea, and you know, Iraq. We're worried about all of these countries. 5 years ago, we weren't.
It's just funny because, I mean, it's like they're just getting tube fed because he lies all the time. And they still believe him.
They go for it. Yeah.
I mean, I know 7-year-old kids that go, he's lying. John, he's lying.
He just went on there and he said that inflation is going down and it was at 9% when he went into office. And it was. No, it was at 1.5% when you went into office, and then 6 months later, when you were president, it went to 9.
Right. Yeah, well, and, 9,
but
1.
That's what he says, and they're just, sinking, oh, you know, but, just yep. give me the spoon.
Yeah,
so, gentlemen, here's the problem. We literally, and this, you know, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. We had Dr. Jim Bartlett, who's running for superintendent of Department of Public Instruction in North Dakota. And the reason that, look, it's not because Dr. Bartlett has nothing better to do with his time, okay? He's got plenty to do with his time. He taught engineering at NDSU. Do you know how long he taught engineering at NDSU?
Like, dude, sharp.
17 years. Yeah. Very sharp.
Yep.
He was head of the North Dakota Homeschool Association. He was the director of the North Dakota Homeschool Association for 6 years. He did programs between high school seniors in the public schools and MIT to bring about an understanding. I mean, he's a very sharp
guy. And folks, when they say he taught engineering, that doesn't mean he drove train.
No, that's right. No, he's very intelligent. Yep. He's very soft-spoken. He's one of those cases where the saying is true. Still waters run deep. I just lost my light. That's very unusual. I'll just make a little point here. So
now, blue.
I'm not in the dark, but I kind of am.
Paul, can you
turn that one on? Thank you. There we go.
There you go.
So he not only did all of that stuff, but he's I'm really bright now. But he also has a farm. He owns Bartlett Farms, and they sell organic food. They've got all kinds of really great quality organic stuff. So he's got a career, but he's seeing what's happening in the public schools, and he just can't stand by and watch it happen anymore. And he's got the skills and the background to fix it. So this is one of the things that will shock a lot of people that haven't been paying attention. What's actually happening in the public schools today is people are teaching that your feelings matter more to the children. Your feelings matter more than the rules of math or English. Your feelings matter more, in fact, than reality. In fact, anti-realism. We've gotten to the point where anti-realism, it's not just social engineering, it's anti-realism. Is being brought into the schools, teaching the children, in other words, that there's no such thing as reality. Just let that sink in for a minute. Can you imagine having a child and saying to him, when he say, "Daddy, why does this happen?" "Well, son, it's for why ever you think it is, because there's no such thing as reality. That means there's no such thing as truth. That means your life is meaningless. It means that there are no rules, no laws, no nothing. Tomorrow, gravity could be gone.
Yeah.
Maybe gravity is a figment of your imagination. There's no such thing as reality." That's what kids are being taught today. So when you talk about, you know, people just saying, "Yeah, give me the spoon," right? It's because they're moving towards that point where they don't even believe that reality exists. And if it does exist, well, I can't know it. I'm not an expert. Hey, I'm not an expert on reality, right? It's like the comedian who said, you know, he was doing the thing on the "don't do your own research," you know, it used to be called reading. He said, when someone says, "You're going to go buy a farm." I'm thinking I'm going to get a new car. Don't look into it. Well, how will I know if I'm getting the right car?
Right.
Ask the salesman. He's the expert. Yeah. I mean, it's
like, these students at UCLA. It's like, okay, prove that gravity exists. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll jump off that bridge. We'll show you.
Well, that's your opinion. Yeah. So we need to turn things around. We need to do it quick. And so I'm really hoping and praying and working for hoping that Dr. Bartlett will find enough people who are willing to listen and say, yeah, we need to change that. So when we come back, we're going to go deeper into the I think we stopped. I want to finish this report from the 2003 Annual Epidemic Intelligence Service Conference, and then we'll get into something that's happening right now that everybody watching this show, listening to the show, needs to know and needs to do something about. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Representative Claire Corey. I'm running to be your next state senator in District 42. I'm the only one in this race that is conservative, experienced, successful in delivering you results, and a proven leader. I have proudly passed over $515 million in tax relief, introduced military-friendly legislation, and fought for school choice.
Hi, I'm Bill Ringy. I'm campaign manager for Claire Corey. She's the best candidate for state senate and District 42.
Vote for me, Claire Corey, on June 11th. Paid for by Claire Corey for Senate.
All right, everything is new again. Hidden Agenda on Grand Forks Best Source. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Myself, John Roberts, and Paul, the producer, all in the studio today. And had to take a quick little break there, but let's keep rolling on here. Yeah.
Yes. So this is to wrap up the story on the annual epidemic intelligence. And we will continue this. I'll just say right now, we're going to continue this show next week because we've got a lot to cover. But for now, this is what happened. They're at the annual, what do they call it? The AEISC, the Annual Epidemic Intelligence Service Conference. And 12% of the people got COVID, tested positive for COVID. Here's the kicker. 20% of the attendees didn't fill out the survey. So we've only got 80% mm-hmm. response. So mm-hmm. it could have been higher than 12%. We know a minimum of 12% of the attendees, it could have been 15%, it could have been more.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum of 12% tested positive for COVID.
Of the 80.
Of the...
Yep.
Yeah, of the 80%.
Yep.
So 181 tested positive, okay. Right? 181 of the attendees. There were 1,800 in-person attendees. 1,800. 181 of those 1,800 tested positive for COVID.
Okay.
181. But only 80% of the people answered the survey. So maybe 20% didn't, maybe a bunch of the people in the 20% didn't also got COVID or tested positive for COVID, but they didn't answer, so they don't know.
Yeah, right.
So all they can say is they know 181%, 181 people,
yep.
which was 80% of the total tested positive. Here's the kicker. You want to take a guess? What percentage was vaccinated at this conference? Take a wild guess.
20%.
You take a guess. What percent was vaccinated against COVID-19?
Actually, I'm going to say 80%. All of them.
80%?
Yep.
Your poll's right. Yep. 100%. 100% of the people at the conference were vaccinated for COVID. Mm-hmm. And yet they get together, they're talking, and a minimum of 12% of them tested positive for COVID. Okay, wow.
Well, I mean, that
should tell us something.
Well, it's obvious the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID. How many times has Sleepy Joe got it? How many times has he been vaccinated and all that, you know, boosted? And
okay, so right, so that's the story, and that story came out. That story came out from the Washington Post. That was relayed in the Washington Post and elsewhere. Well, guess who responded to this whole event, this whole thing? The CDC.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to read you the CDC's response. This is called their update on rapid assessment of SARS-CoV-2 transmission at the 2023 EIS conference. EIS, the Epidemic Intelligence Services conference, right? So this is their annual conference, the EIS conference. Here's the – oh, but before I read it, do you know what the CDC's slogan is? I'm not making this up. This is directly off their website. CDC 24/7, saving lives, protecting people. And okay. I wrote, this is not supposed to be funny. I mean, that's not supposed to be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
That statement, CDC 24/7, saving lives, protecting people, they trademarked that.
It sounds like something that should be on a police car.
saving lives, protecting people? The CDC? Think back to 2024. I think that's a laugh line. Yeah, I mean, I think that people should be, we should be guffawing over that. Here's the CDC's media statement in response to this. The goals were to learn. So they did, the CDC is the one that did the survey of these people and found out that, 12% positive rate minimum. Quote, the goals were to learn about, were to learn more about transmission that occurred and to add to our understanding as we transition to the next phase of COVID-19 surveillance and response. Not surprisingly, there was an increased chance of infection the longer participants attended the conference and the more events they participated in. Not surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, respondents who tested positive reported attending the conference on an average for all 4 days. Oh, so the longer you're in proximity of someone that has COVID, why would they have COVID? They all got the vaccine. They all got the COVID vaccine. Respondents who tested positive reported attending the conference on average for all 4 days, and the risk of an infection was 70% greater among those who attended for three or more days versus those who attended for two or fewer days. It gets better. Nearly all respondents, 99.4% to the survey, had received at least one dose. I'd hate to be that 0.6% guy. Nearly all respondents, 99.4% to the survey, had received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and they were, quote, and quote, there were very few unvaccinated attendees in general, or none. I guess none could be considered very few.
Right,
if you're the CDC. Yeah. So what's your conclusion? What's that? That's the CDC's statement about what happened, who got it, how they got it, you know, the longer duration.
Mm-hmm.
Drum roll, please. We have a drum roll?
No, we don't.
All right. Thank you.
No, all we have is that.
Oh, that's not a... No. Just do that really fast a bunch of times. Just kidding.
How about...
Here's their... Well, that will come after this.
Okay.
The CDC continues to recommend that everyone ages 6 months and older stay up to date with all COVID-19 vaccines, including receiving an updated vaccine. COVID-19 vaccines are effective at protecting people from getting seriously ill, being hospitalized, and dying. Now the crickets. You can't make this stuff up.
Actually, I was going to do the laugh on that one.
The laugh would be good. Yeah.
How about the new COVID variant? Have you heard what they're calling that now? It's the flirt variant. FLIRT, I believe. Flirt. I don't know why. I haven't looked into it. I just happened to see it this morning, but...
Here's what I want to know, John.
Because they couldn't call it the flu?
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. They've got this conference of these people who've all been vaccinated. COVID-19 breaks out. a minimum of 12% of them, by their own admission, test positive for COVID-19. And the response of the CDC is, we continue to recommend that people from the ages of 6 months and older stay up to date with all COVID vaccines.
Yep.
This is a little bit like saying, you know, every time I poke myself in the eye, my eye waters.
Yeah.
Well, eye watering is good. It flushes out impurities in your eye, so keep poking yourself. Yeah. That's like saying that.
You're kind of right.
Keep getting poked, everybody. We're the CDC. Keep getting poked. Look, okay, so this is leading into the second part of the story. And this is the part that's scary. Give the CDC, both of you, rate the CDC for me from A to F. How do you think the CDC did in terms of providing accurate, up-to-date information about what was going on with COVID-19 from the very beginning? How would you rate them?
A D, to F. D minus.
D minus?
Oh, I'll give them an F.
Okay. How would you rate the CDC in terms of making recommendations for how to stay safe, how to protect oneself from this spreading virus?
I got another F.
Incomplete.
How would you rate the CDC in terms of their solution to the problem, which is go get this shot, which is safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective?
F.
Yep.
Okay. So to any thinking person who's been around for the last 4 years, the CDC has failed at every single step of the way since COVID started. Mm-hmm. They failed from every step of the way. They're just now, even though they've been holding back the VAERS information, and now it's coming out, they're still not even really owning up to it. Although, thankfully, AstraZeneca, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, has just pulled their COVID vaccine because of the number of blood clots. Look, you know what? The standard used to be, if it happens 4 times, put an alert. If it happens 10 times, you pull it.
Yeah.
You pull it.
Yeah.
And then we got to figure out what happened. What's going on? This has happened thousands, tens of thousands of
those
times.
Those numbers are there for every 100.
Perhaps millions of times. Yeah. And only now are they actually taking action. So this brings us up to today. The CDC worked hand in glove with what other organization? Think global.
The WHO.
The WHO, mm-hmm. which is the World Health Organization. Mm-hmm. What's going on with the World Health Organization today? Well, the World Health Organization, I can say the word, World Health Organization is, they've gone home and they're licking their wounds. They're saying, oh, we were so wrong about COVID. We were so wrong about how to respond. We were so wrong about the masks, about the vaccines. Boy, did we blow it. We killed who knows how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people because of our foolishness and our stupid policies that we put out as guidelines. No, they're not doing that. That is not what the WHO is doing. They're not licking their wounds. They're not embarrassed. They're charging ahead. They're all hands on deck. We're going to move forward. And we're going to get ready to do this again. Only next time we're going to do even better. Here's what they're saying. The problem with how we responded to the COVID pandemic was all we could issue was guidelines. We need to be able to force them to do what we say. We need to have the authority of law, not just the color of law. We need to actually have legal authority over every single person on the planet. After all, we are the World Health Organization. Okay, so there's this thing coming up next month. During the 77th World Health Assembly.
Didn't Trump pull us out of the World Health Organization?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
How did we get back in there? Did we slip? Did we slide? Was it an accident? What happened? How did we get back into the World Health Organization as a member nation? Trump pulled us out. Did Melania put us back?
I don't think so.
Was it Byron Dorgan who put us back? How do we get back in the World Health Organization as a member nation?
Well, how did we get in any of the trouble we're in right now?
Oh, that's right. O'Biden.
Yeah, O'Biden.
So here's what's happening. There's an upcoming meeting. Joe Biden will be there. And he wants to sign on to a plan from the World Health Organization to be able to declare public health emergencies where they suddenly have all the authority. So, you know, I and Dr. Gene Gullix and Dr. Dan Sanislavski and others were petitioning people at the local school boards to stop the nonsense that they're doing for COVID. We're petitioning the mayor to stop the nonsense. We're petitioning the city council to stop the nonsense. Those are all local. That's local control, right? They're establishing local strategies, local policies, and local rules. Not a lot of laws were passed about that, but you got to follow the rules. But the WHO wants to make all that go away. So all these people would be is they would just be the puppets that put the rules in place and enforce them. And folks, this is not, we're not messing around anymore, John. They want to literally have control over your body.
Oh, sure.
So did you get the COVID vaccine?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Did you get the COVID vaccine?
No.
Did I get the COVID vaccine?
No.
None of us got it.
No.
Because it was our choice, wasn't it? Chris Cuomo was saying, you shouldn't have the choice. You should not be, you should have to take it. Well, that's what the WHO wants. They want the authority to have law on their side to force you to get any injection that they say you need.
Well, I can show you that I was vaccinated.
Yeah, well, right. But so that aside, this is a letter that was written just, what's today, the 14th?
Yes.
14
days
ago.
I'm knocking on my door. I'll say, no, I did not get the vaccine. And yes, I lost all my guns. Would you like to find out?
So here's the letter. And I'm very thankful for, Ron Johnson, who's a senator from Wisconsin. This is a letter that he wrote 2 weeks ago to the White House, to the president. Okay. The Honorable Joe, I don't know how, I mean, he's somebody, he probably had someone else type this for him. The Honorable Joseph R. Biden, President of the United States. Dear Mr. President, next month during the 70s, I'm going to read the whole letter, okay? But you need to hear the, really, I want you to ask questions. I want you to comment on this when I finish. Dear Mr. President, next month during the 77th World Health Assembly, your administration is expected to commit the United States to two international agreements that would strengthen the World Health Organization's authority to declare public health emergencies of international concern and expand the WHO's authority over member states during such emergencies. This is unacceptable. Little parenthetical statement here. Mm-hmm. When he writes, expand the world's, the WHO's authority over member states are nations. So the United States would be considered a member state of the WHO, all right? Just to be clear. Continuing, the WHO's failure during the COVID-19 pandemic was as total as it was predictable and did lasting harm to our country. The United States cannot afford to ignore this latest WHO inability to perform its most basic function and must insist on comprehensive WHO reforms before even considering amendments to the international health regulations or any new pandemic treaty-related treaty that would increase WHO authority. We are deeply concerned that your administration continues to support these initiatives and strongly urge you to change course. Article 55 of the IHR, that's the International Health Regulations, Article 55, excuse me, requires the text of any IHR amendment to be communicated to member states at least 4 months before the WHA, at which they are to be considered. As the WHO has still not provided final amendment to text to member states, we submit that IHR amendments may not be considered at next month's WHA. Some of the over 300 proposals for amendments made by member states would substantially increase the WHO's health emergency powers and constitute intolerable infringements upon U.S. sovereignty. As such, it was essential that the WHO abide by the four-month notice period to allow member states time to ensure that no traces of such proposals were included in any final amendment package for consideration by the WHA or the World Health Assembly. Having failed to do so, amendments are not in order. So he's appealing to the rules and regulations yep. of this organization, saying, hey, they didn't follow the rules. We need 4 months to review everything that they're proposing in the mm-hmm. new amendments. The WHO's most recent publicly available draft of its new pandemic response treaty is dead on arrival. Instead of addressing the WHO's well-documented shortcomings, the treaty focuses on mandated resource and technology transfers, shredding intellectual property rights, infringing free speech, and supercharging the WHO. Moving forward with the new pandemic preparedness and response treaty ignores the fact that we are still unsure of COVID-19's origins because Beijing continues to block a legitimate independent investigation. We strongly urge you not to join any pandemic-related treaty, convention, or agreement being considered at the 77th WHA. Should you ignore this advice, we state in the strongest possible terms that we consider any such agreement to be a treaty requiring the concurrence of two-thirds of the Senate under Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution. In light of the high stakes for our country and our constitutional duty, we call upon you to, one, withdraw your administration's support for the current IHR amendments and pandemic treaty negotiations, two, shift your administration's focus to comprehensive WHO reforms that address its persistent failures without expanding its authority, and three, should you ignore these calls, submit any pandemic-related agreement to the Senate for its advice and consent. Sincerely, Ron Johnson, United States Senator, and Rick Scott, United States Senator. This letter was sent to the White House, to Joe Biden, and it was signed, it was agreed to by every single Republican senator in the United States. Every yep. Republican senator agreed. In fact, I think I have, let me see. I have too many papers today. I think, what's that?
As it should have been.
As it should have been. Yeah. Here's what I don't understand. Why wasn't it signed by every U.S. senator? What Democrat senator would think that this letter shouldn't be signed by them? I mean,
if the WHO were to come in and try to do that kind of stuff, I mean, that would be the next civil war.
Yes, I think so. So here's respectfully, and here are just some of them. Oh no, I'm sorry. This is sorry. That's getting ahead of myself. All the Republican senators signed. I was going to bring a list of all their signatures and show you, but I don't have that. I have another list of other signatures, which we'll get back to on the next show.
It's funny too, when you talk about the World Health Organization, they bring in people to consult, things like that, scientists, if you it can be bad if you don't conform to what they say and what they believe. I know a few people that have done some work for them, and they're almost like they're afraid to say anything about what they bring to the table. But we'll have more on that on a different show. But you don't mess around with them. It's just like, well, it's like Fauci. They're way up here. They're protected. You can't touch them. Whatever they say goes. And another thing is Sleepy Joe just trying to make the transition back to Donald Trump as president as difficult as possible, saying, okay, we got to go reverse this. We got to go reverse that. Jesus. And now he did that again. And to me, it's to the point where he's just doing whatever he can, like the Democrats did the whole first 4 years we had him as president, to make everything as difficult as possible for him.
I think that goes without saying. I think you're absolutely right. It's like when, who was it? It was when George W. Bush won. And I'm not a fan of George mm-hmm. Bush at all. But when Clinton left the White House, do you know what his staff did before George Bush came in? They cut telephone lines. Yeah. Cut these massive, mm-hmm. these are huge. Trunk lines.
Yeah.
So, and it cost, I don't remember, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to come in and repair them. they did that.
How can they do that? I mean,
how can they? No, how can they do that and get away with it?
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
Nobody went to jail.
Right.
No one
right.
went to jail.
If I did that, I'd go to jail.
Do you know what would happen if you cut one if you cut one telephone line on January 6th?
Oh, I'd still be in jail.
You'd be in jail for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those people who are in jail right now who showed up to the Capitol on January 6th, they didn't cut anything. They didn't cut anything.
Right. Right.
They didn't cut any telephone lines. But Clinton's staff can do that and totally get away with it. And George W. Bush comes in. well, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You know, the most terrifying thing about this WHO, because I don't know if people realize the gravity of like what they want to be able to do. And so now they say that there's another pandemic or, you know, an emergency.
Yes.
And so now they enforce their own WHO police to monitor everything. So right. All of a sudden you have four jumbo jets land in Minneapolis Airport filled with a bunch of Iranian WHO cops
to police
Minneapolis.
Yeah, no, that sounds so ridiculous, but that's actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, Paul, really, that kind of a scenario.
Because they'll have their hat on with their badge. No, I'm with the WHO.
Yeah.
I'm here to enforce the pandemic rules.
So we like to, you know, just to keep things easier to follow, we tend to compartmentalize things in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like right now, you're not thinking about what you're having for dinner. Well, now that I mention it, maybe you are. But you're not thinking about, you know, going back and reorganizing your closet or your shoes or whatever. Because you're focused here. We tend to do that. But what happens when we begin to start opening the compartment doors and looking at all the different things that are going on around the country and around the world right now? For example, Paul, what you just mentioned. How much scarier does that become when you think about the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency?
Yeah.
When all the transactions that we're doing monetarily are digital, Paul, let's check Paul Krinulka vaccine status. None. Nope. Cut his bank off. Boom. You cut his credit off. Boom. You've got no access to any money. You cannot buy food for your children. You cannot buy gas for your car. You cannot charge your Tesla. You cannot do anything that...
Here's another scenario.
It takes money. They don't even need to fly in a bunch of Iranians on jumbo jets. They just cut off your money supply until you're vaccinated.
Well, they could do another roundabout way of this too, we're enforcing the WHO policies. If you'd like to be a WHO police officer, no ID required, and you'll get your central bank digital currency Visa card.
Oh, yeah.
So right. just go apply at your local WHO center, and then that's where all the illegal immigrants have a job.
That's even scarier because it wouldn't just be illegal immigrants. It would be every miscreant, every psychopath who wants to make other people's lives miserable. They would go and they would do that because they love controlling people.
Now, if they try to go to my bank account or whatever, I look at it like that old 70s or 80s tune, nothing from nothing leads to nothing.
Nothing from nothing
leads to nothing. Nothing from nothing leads to nothing.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
So that little humor is always good to break up. Break up the dark looming clouds. But the good news is this. And Del Bigri, I just watched this. I'd encourage you, if you haven't seen in his program, it's called The High Wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's thehighwire.org, I think. And it's episode like number 187 or something. And it's called, and I wish Dan was here because he would enjoy this. It's called The Fall of Safe and Effective.
Title for next week's show, possibly?
That's good, except he already has it.
Yeah,
so we,
yeah.
But today's show is Everything Old is New Again. What we've experienced during the COVID pandemic, it's not over, folks.
No.
They're going to try to do it again. The next time, they want to make it really big.
But there is some good that is coming out of this because, I mean, you know, 4 years ago, we started this, you know, as the Great Reset. Well, now there's another term that's coming out, and it's the Great Awakening.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Oh, that's true.
We are having a Great Awakening Part 2.
Yeah.
And this time, it's I'm encouraged that a lot of the people that are fighting against this are are God-fearing men and women, you know, solid Christians, and people who think that someday they may have to give an account for their lives to somebody. That tends to make an impact on how you live today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what kids used to learn in school. I better not do this, because if I do, I might end up getting hung out of the third-story window by my ankles.
Yep.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So, and you know that from real...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I witnessed it.
You witnessed it. You were a party to that by at least...
The good old
visually,
days.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days.
And so, so nobody here, look, nobody here is endorsing or promoting abuse of children.
No.
But... when you get to the point where you're teaching children that there's no such thing as reality,
yeah,
and they can decide if they're a boy or a girl based on how they feel that day,
yeah, yeah,
and they can decide that they need a litter box instead of a toilet, that is child abuse.
Yeah.
Oh. In fact, I think that's worse child abuse, because that's emotional and mental. It's not just physical.
I mean, right.
Physical scars heal.
Yeah, yeah.
Mental and emotional scars, they can last a lifetime. Again... all child abuse is wrong, but what's happening in the public schools to the kids today is wrong. Here's the good news. So the hidden agenda is the WHO wants to take over the world, and they that's not a joke. Tedros, he's a puppet.
Yeah.
He's not the mastermind behind it all. He's a puppet. He was put there essentially from what I've seen. I think he was put there by Xi Jinping. I think the CCP is behind his position in the WHO. But that's for another show.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. These people, these senators, all the senators who signed this letter, all the Republican senators signed this letter, they heard from their constituents. They heard from people like you.
Yes.
And like you.
Who
and like
they represent.
Me. And they called in and they said, hey, you got to get on top of this. And so they did. It wouldn't hurt whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Look, Joe Biden, actually, I think maybe he may just be deluded enough to think he can win in 2024.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
He seems to think he can win.
Or somebody is putting it into his brain.
If the White House got flooded with phone calls and emails saying, what in the world are you doing? Getting us back into the WHO. The whole thing needs to be reformed. We need to be pulled out. We should never agree to anything until there are massive WHO reforms. I think that might just make a difference. I think it might. In fact, I know it would make a difference. I know that would make a difference. So that's my encouragement to you all folks today. Call up 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue later today, tomorrow. Don't wait too long, because this is coming in very, very soon. I think it's just a couple of weeks from now. And say, no WHO agreement, no treaty, nothing. Stay away, and let's keep our national sovereignty right here where it belongs, the good old US of A.
Good show.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, David.
My
there
pleasure.
You go. David Waterman with the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Everything old is new again. Hidden Agenda on Grand Forks Best Source, brought to you today by Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemptionshield.com.
Yeah, it's easy to do. Just go to gfbestsource.com, and at the bottom of the homepage, just click the shield, and you will be able to order today, all right? Oh, boy, I tell you what, Jody Carlson, you know, she's running for city council over in Ward 5. She will be in the studio tomorrow to talk about her campaign and more. Make sure you tune in at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and remember to tune in, like, share, tag, and follow us on your favorite app. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. You never miss a show. You know, the Forks, they are awesome. Grand Forks Best Source is giving them an identity again.